Good evening. We are going to continue with our study, the journey of Jesus, and we're going to look at his burial today. It's not a very long look at this. I remember when I was young, the first person that I knew to pass away and for me to go to a funeral was my grandfather. And I was 7, and I can remember thinking at the funeral, you know, all the emotions and the questions that a child would have, why did he have to die, and realizing, you know, especially at the graveside, I'll never get to see, it dawned on me, I'll never get to see him again. And preparing for this, I was thinking probably a lot of those same emotions were with the disciples. Even though they had been taught by Jesus himself, I must suffer, I must die, but he will raise again. And I'm sure the emotions were high. Frustration, sadness, fear, and those things we know after the fact that he's going to raise. And if he's going to raise, we get to raise when that time comes for us. And I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's just living longer in this world, but the death part is not as scary as it used to be. Knowing the outcome and knowing that the burial is not the end. Knowing it. In Matthew, we're going to be looking at the account in Matthew's gospel in Matthew 27, and there'll be a couple of other scriptures other than this, but starting in verse 57, it says, "Now when evening had come, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had also become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be given to him. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his new tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the door of the tomb and departed." There's not a lot of information about Joseph of Arimathea, but this was recorded for us. People can do an awful lot of things in the kingdom of God. I just look at the 30 people in here. Many of us do different things. Everything from teaching to preaching to serving to cleaning. We all have something we can do, and we do it. That was something he could do. We don't see anything else. I'm assuming he did other things, but this was recorded that he did do. He was able to give a place. When Jesus said that the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head, he certainly didn't have a place to lay his body in death. Joseph could give him that. That was his way of service. I'm reminded in Mark 14, verses 8 and 9, when Mary had come and anointed Jesus' head with oil. It said in verse 8, she had done what she could. She had come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Surely, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. The same thing is being said even to this day about Joseph of Arimathea. He did what he could do. He couldn't bring Jesus back to life. I'm sure he would have if he could. He couldn't have stopped the pain when he was on the cross. He couldn't have stopped the whipping prior to the cross, but he could give him a place for burial. In Romans 12, Paul would write, explaining in this chapter how we all have different gifts according to the grace that was giving us. I think I put the picture over the part. The words, he says, let us use them. Having gifts differing, all of us have different gifts, let us use them. And that's all we can do. We can only do what we are capable of doing. But there is something every one of us can do. It might be different. There's many things that you are capable of doing that I can't or am not very good at. And there may be some things that other people can do that you're not good at. It goes on to say in Matthew verse 61, in our text about the burial, it says, and Mary Magdalene was there and the other Mary sitting opposite the tomb. They were remembering Jesus. They were doing what they could do. They were mourning. They were devout. They loved Jesus. They loved his teachings. And they were there at the tomb. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days, I will rise. Therefore, command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. They wanted to avoid the possible, they knew what he had said. And they did not want, Judy.
It's not me.
Okay.
It
sounds like it's coming right here.
It sure does.
I can talk without. I didn't know if it was something important.
Well, I heard it first.
Okay. But they're going to Pilate to try to prevent this. They want to drag other people in to do their bidding for them. And they don't want him to rise from the dead or the appearance of the raising from the dead. And then Pilate said to them, you have a guard. Go your way, make it as secure as you know how. So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. They tried to prevent anybody from knowing. Carolyn, could it be your purse? Oh, okay. It is, Judy.
You're wrong.
Take one of those strikes back. Okay. The burial of Jesus, even though these were just a few short verses, we see a number of lessons come out of it that it gave opportunity for Joseph to serve. Who would ever think opportunity like that could come out of such a bad event? Every one of us, even in a negative, might be able to serve through the words we speak. A hand on somebody's shoulder, a prayer for somebody, letting somebody know we're praying for you, a Bible study, inviting somebody that's going through a negative, inviting them to church. This negative was an opportunity for some. It also, as sad of an event that it was, it fulfilled. It had to be because it fulfilled prophecy, and it was part of God's plan. Even Jesus had to die. It was essential for the impact of the resurrection to be what it was. He had to die. Without his death and burial, there's no resurrection. That is the power. The death is important. The burial, not so much. It was because it proved he was dead. For 4 days, 3 days, that he was dead. That's the impact that the resurrection would have. And it reminds us all that there's a day for us. You talk about our name's marked on the calendar for us sometime. We don't know what it is. And we have to be prepared. Why should we, and this is just a question, why should we be angry at death when even Jesus had to die? And the burial of Jesus brings up some of these things. You might even have picked a few other things out of it yourself. Anyway, the lesson is yours. The next month, we'll be looking at the impact of the resurrection. And the death was important, the burial is important, but I tell you, the resurrection proved everything Jesus had said. And we will look at that next time I get the opportunity to speak. If anybody needs prayers, if anybody needs to respond to the invitation, we are all members here. We are all, to my knowledge, baptized believers. If there's anything we can do for each other, please let each other know. And as we're led in the invitation song, please come forward and let your needs be known. Let's stand and sing.